Hello, welcome to Sex Gen, to the listeners who we have here. I have an awesome couple, Russ and Sharon, and they are with me today. I'm going to let them introduce themselves in just a second. For right now, I wanted you to know that we're going to tie a mosh podge conversation in. This is a great couple who has lived a couple decades. We'll say that. Is that okay? Sure. And so they've got some great background and information that they're going to share with us. And we're going to talk a little bit about intimacy. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to dive into some of the dynamics that happen over kind of the journey of a lifetime is really what I kind of want to bring to the table. And so I will let you guys introduce yourself. I'll start. Russ, you want to go ahead and start with you and tell just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Russ. I'm 73 years old. I've been married twice and divorced twice. I've been retired for 20 years almost. So
20, you've been retired for 20 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Whenever you think about it, you're like, whoa, I've lived an entire life. Sharon?
I'm Sharon, and I'm 71. I've been married once, divorced. That was about 20 some odd years ago. And I was a high school science teacher, and I have two kids. And we've been partners now for about 5 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Hey, that's where we're going to start. So we're going to kind of jump in. So to the listeners, 71, 73, and they've had an awful, awesome lifetime of experience. So this is kind of where we're going to jump in. If you heard Sharon kind of mention, it's kind of neat to know y'all have been partners for 5 years, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about how you met and kind of how life got started down this journey.
Go ahead.
We met on, was it?
eHarmony.
We met on eHarmony. Over the years, over the 20 years, I've met most of the nice men on eHarmony. I was teaching. My mother had passed away. I was getting ready to retire and decided I wanted somebody to travel and do things with. And so I went through and signed up for eHarmony. And one night I was getting really frustrated because I hadn't met anyone, and I went in and just started pinging the guys that were there. And he responded back, and I read his entire interview and questions that they ask, and I liked him.
Aw. Russ, what was your side of that?
Well, I've been trying for several years to find just a companion that I could travel with and do things with, and I tried a couple of different dating services, but eHarmony seemed to produce the most options. I came across Sharon's request, and I said, "Yeah, my mother's a school teacher. This one's a retired school teacher. Why not give it a shot and see how it goes?" And fortunately, it went well.
Unfortunately, yes, and here we are.
I'd had an awful lot of not so successful meetings, you know, one, two dates and out. So I wasn't particularly optimistic, you know.
Let me ask you this, and this is an off-the-wall question, but what did you learn from dating? Or from talking to some of the people, did you learn kind of like about you more so? I know it's totally off the wall and you don't have to answer it, but did you learn more so about you during the journey? That's what I personally found. I was just curious because while I dated, I found out personally who I was, you know?
Well, I learned there were a lot of scammers out there that weren't real people, and mm-hmm. you had to be able to tell the real people from the fake ones. So when I started talking to him, I started asking him about the area and, you know, to try and figure out if he was a real person or not. That was number one.
Smart.
I think that it, where I am right now, or where I was when we first started dating, is I was really interested in someone who had the same values that I did, that was tolerant of other people, that liked to travel, that was kind, that had a sense of humor. You know, some of those things that when you're like 19 or 20, do they drive a nice car? Are they cute? You know, those are things that you kind of look at then, as opposed to those things are not as important as are they ethical, moral, and a good person. And so those are the things I was looking for this time.
I like that. I think that that's I do think that kind of that leans into like how it you differentiate like this journey of life and how we see intimacy and how we see relationships and how kind of as a younger person, it looks so very different than as someone who's a little bit older. And I know all experiences are totally different, but I do think that that's a consistency, you know, through life. So in the Russ, you didn't respond as far as meeting later, like how it differs. I think she kind of snuck in an answer there.
No, I don't think she sneaked in at all. She approached it differently than I, but I was looking for someone who had some interests that were peripheral to mine that I wanted to develop. Like, for instance, she was a science teacher, and she's interested in nature and interested in hiking and comes from a different background that provided me with new areas to explore. I wasn't looking for the same old thing. And I found it's interesting. I found that I'm not particularly afraid of strong women. And so I had been looking for women who had careers of business careers and things like that. And I found that most of them weren't on eHarmony. And the ones I did find, we just didn't have anything in common. But by finding somebody who had peripheral interests, like hiking and was interested in traveling, helped me, made a difference. I mean, I agree with Sharon, when you're 19, 20, 21, you're looking at a completely different, completely different landscape.
Figuratively and literally.
Well, yeah, really are.
Yeah. And, you know, I had to stop because there's still part of my brain that is 18. I had to stop looking for that and start being realistic about what I was looking for.
Yeah, I think that
and it's okay. He likes. I tell him on the TV, "Hey, look, there's a girl. She's undressed. Come look real fast."
You still have the eyes, right?
I look for an artist, and I look artistic.
Oh, well said. Well said. Well played, sir. No, I think that y'all hit on exactly what some of, you know, and I think before we started, I was kind of fumbling through with what I was going to call it, but like, this is exactly what I wanted us to talk about. Like this journey and this expectation that we have at different parts of our lives and how authentic it evolves.
Yeah, let me, sorry. Let me address that a little bit, because I had expected, even at my advanced age,
I was not trying to say that 73 was an advanced age. I'm just trying to say generally.
It will be for a lot of your listeners who are saying, no. Really?
Hey, this perspective is needed. I have a lot of people in different age ranges.
But I was still thinking that when I came across the right person, that I would have the same feelings of attraction that I had to women when I was in my 20s and again when I was in my 40s when I met my second wife. And that didn't happen. That just didn't happen. It didn't happen with her. It doesn't, I mean, it's not the same. You know, this infatuation, I guess that's the piece that wasn't there, was the infatuation type thing that you go through when you're much younger. You're attracted physically, you're attracted to something entirely different that causes you to moon over somebody or something like that. And I was waiting for that to happen, and it didn't. What I had to learn was I had to grow into a new parameter, a new set of parameters for what love looks like when you're, what would it have been, 68 years old. And it was an adjustment. Fortunately, I had a counselor that helped me get through that.
Well, I'm glad. You know what? And I think it is good to reach out to counseling. And I think that that journey is important for people to understand that those transition times, nobody taught us how to do this. You know, nobody taught us how to do life in different sections. Everybody said, no, this is the cookie cutter. And if you don't have the cookie cutter, then just don't talk about it, you know, and keep it kind of over here on the side. And I think that now more and more we're talking about, no, like, this is what joy can look like in a relationship. This is what intimacy can look like in a relationship, yeah. You know? And I think that addressing those things is really important. Literally the reason why I started this. So I'm so glad that you shared that.
And for me, it's those things are a lot different at age 68 to 73 than they were when I was 40 or something like that. And the worries are different.
Yeah, the worries are. I think that even in the 30s.
At 40, you're still trying to put together a career and balance that career with the partner you're meeting. And at 68, I don't have a career. I just annoy people.
You're very intelligent, so at least you annoy them intelligently.
Yeah. Well, I really Sharon, did you get under their skin.
Sharon, did you want to add something to that?
It was kind of a hard nut to crack in the beginning because he had two divorces, and so, you know, he had a lot of walls and barriers that had to come down. And so, you know, there were some little ups and downs, but I knew within 5 months that I loved him. And then I spent 5 months making sure that I loved him because I didn't want him to have to go through another divorce. So I wanted to make super, super sure that I was going to be that person that hung in there and stayed.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know what? And see, I don't know that you think about that, like at different stages, like that is definitely one that's a gift, you know, to a partner. That kind of, okay. So that kind of makes me think of the maintaining autonomy and connection in a relationship. I know I kind of skipped ahead a little bit, but I think that that's really important, the autonomy and the connection in the relationship. And so it sounds to me like y'all both have autonomy and connection. You have your ability to talk for yourself and take care of yourself, but then you also have the ability to connect in a healthy way. Like you have a strong sense of choice in your relationship. Would you say so?
I would agree with that. Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there are on a very basic level, there are television programs we like to watch together, television programs we don't. And there are television.
This is true.
And there's television programs that we actually like to watch together, you know, and will not, and try to make that a time to be together. I have my interests of public service and some volunteer work I do, and and some musical interests that she supports. And those kinds of autonomy, I don't really call it autonomy, I guess. I just call it my being. She allows me to be me.
And I think, though, that she doesn't. Okay, so autonomy to me, you make the choice and you set the boundary. Like, so this would be a good question. If you didn't set the boundary that these were important things to you and set that up from the beginning and say, you know, this is what I like to do. And you have a sense of choice in the beginning, right? And then she has a sense of choice to say, I'm going to support that or I'm not going to support that.
I see.
And so to me, that is you having the autonomy and voicing it in the beginning as something that you consider to be a healthy balance. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, my first husband never supported anything I wanted. And he once told me that his wives never supported the stuff that he wanted. He kind of took care of them. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to make sure that because I came from a place where I hadn't been supported, that I was going to make sure that I supported him on the things that were important to him. And he supported me on the things that, you know, he gets me bird seed for my birds. And we still argue over plants in the backyard, but eventually he'll say, yeah, it looks nice.
Good for you.
I have grandkids and he's become a grandpa, surrogate grandpa. And to my grandkids, and my daughter thinks refers to him as her stepdad.
Oh, okay.
I found that to be very touching, by the way, when she referred to me as that. And and so I started to refer to her as my stepdaughter. But to be accepted that quickly by her daughter, was to me very touching.
I can see that, and to be welcomed, you know, because that was one of the other things that I did want to talk about is how the families and meeting later in life and how the families kind of have either embraced or not embraced. How has that worked with you guys? Has it been, do you find that it's different? Or you had said that she welcomed you. Like, was she just happy to see mom happy? And or are you just that great of a guy?
He's that great of a guy. But the one that the story that I love the most is I have a friend who was an inclusion teacher, and then she decided to use the CPS Adopt program. And so mm-hmm. her two children that she adopted, I've been their nana since they were 3 days old. And so he would go in, but she also had a lot of other CPS babies, and I was sort of a pseudo CPS nana. And so we tried to get him to hold the babies, and he wasn't all that thrilled, you know, really don't like kids. And then we got a little girl, and I'll tell you what, she saw him, Trent got up on his lap, wanted him to talk to her, and his whole face melted. And you know, she just loved him. And so the same thing with the same thing with Rennie. Now Logan still doesn't talk much, but Rennie loves Rusty. We gotta call.
So okay, well, I think that the family dynamics are kind of one of the more significant ones, because it's a part of you and a part of like your stories and who you've been in the past. And so like integrating that in and, you know, and I want to come back to your family to kind of see how that worked, but integrating that in is that acceptance and that welcomeness, you know, as you are, not the 50-year life relationship person, but the joy and the connection and the love that's now. And that's kind of neat. Yeah. Yeah. Was your family kind of welcoming? Was your family No.
Yeah, no, my family is welcoming. They, I think their approach is, God, be nice to her. Maybe she'll take them.
I think their approach was, we're going to see if she stays.
Yeah, be nice and see if she stays. God, keep him out of our hair. No.
So far, I haven't got that you're this horrible guy. So
the trick has been with my mother. My mother was really hurt at my first divorce because she got very close to my first wife, mm-hmm. and and since I'm not very good at picking women, my second divorce didn't help either. She was kind of, there was a combination of things. One is Sharon sort of stood off to the side. She'd go to family events, but never took the step over of feeling like family until we started going to places where we'd get family pictures. There was a country club we used to go to at, I think, either mm-hmm. Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner, and they would have nice family photographs that you could pose for. And she realized that, you know, this is family. You know, you're part of it. Get used to it. And she's taken small steps to get to where she's endeared by herself to my mother. and become one of the three caregivers, my sister, my mother, and me. My sister, my Sharon, and me. And my mother trusts her, and, you know, but it, you know, it took a little while. And I think it took steps from both sides.
Uh-huh. No, I think that that's true. I think that whenever we have those connections and then we take the connections away, everybody around, you know, it's the, you know, the rock in the water, everybody around gets affected. It doesn't mean that, you know, you should stay in an unhealthy relationship or anything like that. It just means that you have to know that, yes, there's going to be this ripple effect. Yeah. And that's sometimes healthy. Does a ripple effect too, and it's going to cause disturbances in the water, but not for bad reasons. Sometimes it's for good stuff. Well, okay. So I have another question I will throw at y'all. Kind of with intimacy, what does connecting look like for y'all? And not just the physical sense. I mean, like eye contact, words, hugs, dancing. Like, what did y'all find brought your curiosity to the table for each other?
Hmm. Boy, you know, since I don't respond the same way I used to when I was younger, it's a lot more, it's more important for me now to be able to like be close. And I guess in a sense, it's kind of interesting. I can be close without it making look like I want to have sex all the time.
Ooh, that's talent.
Well, yeah. I mean,
no, I mean, that's authentically talent, because it is hard to kind of learn that and be able to do that.
Yeah. And the, you know, the acceptance of the fact that I can't allows me to, but the acceptance by Sharon of that I can't has allowed me to, you know, just sort of enjoy the fact that she likes to lie on my shoulder at night before we go to sleep. She doesn't mind if I rub her back when I come back to bed and I rub her back or something like that. Just hugging during the day, you know, those kinds of things are, those kinds of things have substituted for me anyway, for the sexual intimacy that I used to enjoy. Still do it when I can, but I don't.
Yeah. Well, and to me, like what I hear is that the sexual intimacy is just evolving. It's changing. It's not the same as like a particular one.
Yes.
But like y'all do still experience each other's body and enjoy, you know, connecting with each other. Sharon, you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, as you get older, I think, you know, both for men and women, things slow down. So sometimes you just have to wait until the moment's right. And when it is, that's when you strike. And you go for it. But in between time, you can hug and hold hands and kiss and snuggle. And those are things you can do every day, and you can do them multiple times a day. And so I think those things are important, that touching. And if I remember correctly from teaching, that they say that, you know, in order to be mentally healthy and emotionally healthy, you need that touching and holding, that human beings thrive on that physical intimacy. So it doesn't always have to be sex, but it can be other things too. And those things are easy to do. And so we do.
Okay. I will challenge that and say that they're easy because y'all make it important. A lot of couples have a hard time, you know, they have that fight and then they're not going to go sit down by their partner, or they have the phone call that makes them upset. And so they clench up because the work that you're still trying to build up that career is such a priority that they can't see, oh, wait, this is a moment. And sometimes I think that a lot of people struggle with that simplicity of just being present with their partner in the little moments and having that connection and how important that could be. So I think that y'all put effort into it. That's what I'm hearing that you do.
Well, you know, it's, yeah, you have to though. I mean, I don't know that either one of my wives was very communicative, but my second wife was not very communicative. And I never quite understood where she was at until it was way too late. Now, she may have told me, but I missed it. And I try to be sensitive to when I pull one of my stunts and make her mad, try to make sure that I don't let go, that I try to find out what I did and try to make amends for what I did. Or explain what I did. One of my favorite phrases is, "This is not about you. This is about me."
You know? She laughs, so I bet she does hear that.
You know, this anger or this frustration is absolutely positively not about you. It's about me, and there's nothing that you've done to cause this. There's nothing you can do to stop it either. But, you know, and sometimes I'll do something that brings up old baggage for her.
Yeah.
And I have to work at settling down that says, that's not me.
I do think that you find sometimes that when you're angry, you have to think, there was something he said, I don't remember now what it was, but it reminded me of something, the way that my ex-husband used to act. And so it just hit me wrong. And even though I know he's not my ex-husband, he doesn't act like my ex-husband, mm-hmm. those words just brought up the feelings that I had from way back. And mm-hmm. so I have to, you know, I have to acknowledge that this is what it is. It's not so much what you did. It's just, it's affecting me because I still, sometimes those feelings still pop up. And so, you know, and so sometimes you just need time to think and evaluate and remember that this is, you know, this is where it came from. It's not now, it's something you're still, some residue from the past that, you know, you still have to deal with.
it's important, I think, it's important that that you bring that out too. I mean, you can't just resolve it yourself. You've got, I believe you've got to bring it out and say, you know, that was from my history. And,
yeah. And,
you know, and it gives me a chance to try not to repeat the behavior, because it just doesn't make any sense to repeat the behavior. You know what I mean? And yeah. I don't think I had that kind of communications in either one of my previous marriages.
I think it sounds like one of the things that it is a huge connector with y'all, like being able, but what I'm hearing, and I know this is a different way to look at it, but it sounds like I just have really good, like you are whole people who are doing your best to stay whole as you come together. And I think that protecting, you know, like being able to say, wait a minute, I'm going to protect this relationship because in present tense, this is what he said, or this is what she said, and this is what I'm assigning to it from back here and the history. And so I also think that's work. And I think that goes back to this concept of, you know, emotional intimacy and being connected enough to be able to pick up on that relationship and the importance of it. That's, I think that's awesome. I love your smile. She's like, yes. We are cute, aren't we?
It's adorable.
You are both adorable. So what would you say? I know, Russ, I kind of think you were about to say something, interrupted you. What is your favorite part about the way y'all connect in any form of connection?
Well, spontaneity of it.
That's a good one.
It just happens.
I think it's humor, that we have a sense of humor. Last night I flipped over in bed and I don't know how I did it, but I spilled water all over the floor. It's not the first, second, or third time that I've done that. And so he got up and we cleaned it up. We went back to bed, but he got up this morning when he was in bed. He says, oh, by the way, he says, I didn't appreciate you knocking the glass over. And I looked at him and I said, well, you just lost boyfriend points for that. I said, there you went last night, didn't make a big deal of it. And I'm thinking, this is great. And you said that, and now you've lost your boyfriend points. He says, I love you. I'm trying to get those points back.
That's awesome. You know what? You did a good job of just being present in the moment. I mean, yeah. I think it's good though that the accountability is on both sides. Did you feel like you needed to say that?
I didn't know whether that spilling the water was one of those moments she wanted to, you know, have a group activity. So I thought I should tell her that I didn't want to do that again.
So spilling water at night, or maybe we should find a different container to put your water in by the bed so that it does not spill. You know, I have one of those, so we're totally off topic now, but I'm going to go and say this. I have one of those, because I do the same thing. I don't know why I knock my stuff off the table too, but I have a drink that has like one of these little tops on it. And that's what I put by my bed now. I know, right? It is kind of a sippy cup, but it's a sippy cup for us. Pure women.
Good idea.
Well, go ahead.
One of the things, and I don't know this, say it anyway. One of the things about this relationship that, I didn't have in the other relationships was a sense of being trapped. Marriage has, for me, and I don't know what it means to other people and stuff like that, but for me, marriage made me feel trapped. This relationship, I don't feel trapped.
Oh.
I feel more free to more free to be in the relationship and be around. And I think that the sense of that was the sense of being trapped is the sense of, geez, if she leaves, I lose half my assets. I mean, seriously,
you're a very logical thinker. No, that's
me. And I'm saying this is for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how other people would look at it, but in this relationship, I don't, because there's not marriage, I'm here because the relationship is here. And the relationship is strong, and the relationship is something I want, not something I have to figure out all the time, and how to make her happy and all this stuff so that she doesn't leave and stuff like that. It's just a different form. So take that for what it's worth.
No, I think that's very well said. I'm going to let Sharon make a comment, but I do want to say that, like, taking those parameters, like, everybody sees all these blocks. You know, I work with a lot of polyamorous couples and a lot of monogamous, and but each individual person has to find their own path with how they want to have a relationship with others. And whatever, you know, happened that you associated like this, okay, now I'm like trapped in this situation, you know, which is all like kind of our back here stuff. Y'all can't see me on the podcast, but I'm kind of go put my hands back. And that's our past stuff, our history stuff. But this present relationship, I totally get that you've now chosen to be in the relationship and be present. And y'all do take care of each other financially too. Does that make sense?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's like this, you've changed the parameters. You choose to be engaged with each other instead of you have to be engaged with each other.
Yeah.
And I know that the half of the assets is important. I do understand that, but I think that the choice is really significant too.
Well, like I say, that's where I'm at. Strange as I may be.
I've accepted him for where he's at, and you know, so.
Was that a conversation? And we don't have to go too much into it, but I did want to ask, is this just off the top of my head, was that a conversation that y'all decided to have and kind of journey through how y'all came to middle ground, I guess, is kind of what I'm asking. Did you have to talk about it? To clarify my question, because it was messy. Did you have to talk about it, or did you choose to talk about it and then found a middle ground?
The living together took a while.
Well, we talked. I mean, I was straightforward when with all of the women I met that I was not interested in getting married.
That's good to be straightforward. Yeah.
And if that was what they wanted, then they needed to look someplace else.
I think you have to voice that. Yeah.
And so I tried to make that clear with Sharon. I tried to make it clear, and I don't think I've ever told her about being trapped issue, but.
Well, I think it's good that you don't feel trapped in this relationship. Like, to find out that that's not, that you don't feel trapped, is probably a good thing too.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, but I've accepted that, you know, and actually if we were to get married, then my retirement benefits would be cut. So, you know, it's a lot of seniors that I understand don't marry just for that very reason, that they can, their benefits get cut when they get married, when you're a senior and you're retired. So,
so that kind of eliminates it for people. Yeah. That kind of eliminates it for people. And I'm glad you brought that up, but yes, it does. So, like, you kind of think that, well, this is just who I am. But like, actually, whenever you cross over with retirement, it becomes a much bigger dynamic. Like, you don't know if you're going to be using this money for 10 years or for 80, you know, like, you don't know how long you're going to need the money that you have. And so I think that you are correct, Sharon. I have heard other people who have said, you know what, we're so happy together. And like, you know, we have the same life. We just don't have that word associated with it, but we both have our incomes and our security. And we both know that we've taken care of each other. We've talked about how, you know, okay, if something happens to you or something happens to me, like, this is what this is going to look like kind of conversation. And I think that that's all in the journey. You know, I think that it's important. Y'all are so cute. I can't even tell you how much I appreciate y'all spending time on this podcast with me. Do y'all have anything else that you want to add that just talks, you know, addresses anything that we didn't address that you wanted to talk about?
I think you just have to be kind with each other and forgiving. I see that in people that have been married for a really long time, like, you know, 80 years or 60 years or whatever. And, you know, and one lady, 89 years old, says, you know, you just have to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And I think that's right. I think you have to be kind with each other and realize that you're two separate people. And sometimes, you know, just based on your background, that you don't always feel the same way about everything, but you have to be kind, towards each other. And he takes good care of me, and I try to take good care of him. He helps me with my family, and I try to help him with his. And you know, so we do.
I think that's the, sorry, I interrupted you. I didn't mean to, Sharon. I was just going to say, I think that's the truest form of like a relationship. Like, without those boundaries, y'all created that connection and you've been committed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky we don't, you know, he's OCD. I'm ADHD. So.
Oh my goodness. Okay. That's a whole nother podcast that we got to have.
What I learned is that he's really super neat, and super neat people can't get messy. So when we moved in together, I had to learn to be neater. I'm not perfect, but I had to learn to be neater because he can't be messy. So that's been an interesting thing, my trying to be neater. It doesn't always work, but I try.
I will share that my wife did say this. She said, okay, we have to figure out how to close the doors, the cabinets, and we have to figure, because I walk away and I forget that I've closed the door.
I walk down the hall closing the doors.
Like, how do you not know that you left them open? Oh my gosh. And I'm like,
I've stopped saying anything. I just said, all right, the door's open, close it.
You know what? That's a good middle ground. I'm glad that y'all found it. But no, I do try to close them, and I also don't move things in the house. Like, once we put something somewhere, I try not to move it unless we've talked about it. That seems to be a thing, an agreement that we came up with that works pretty well for us. So if a piece of furniture goes somewhere, then we just leave it there until we've talked about moving it. That's another one of those. So, but see, that's the middle ground and the compromise. And it is, I think that it's interesting, because I know that it's a hard transition whenever you move in together. It's very hard. A lot of my couples have a hard time with that. And it sounds like y'all both came into it with a little bit different mentality. And I guess I wanted to kind of give hope to some of my individuals who I know listen, that are like, oh no, I can't change, I can't do this, I can't do that. And then it's like, but maybe we could. And then you can spend some wonderful time with somebody if you want to. And so I think this is interesting.
But that's the point. I mean, if you aren't willing to change, if all you want to be is the same, then what good is it? What are you going to get out of that? I mean, life, if life is the same all the time, it's a dreary road. And if you are willing to open your mind to learning new things and learning to exist entirely differently, it's no longer a dreary road. It's a wide open plain that you can enjoy and go anywhere on. And that's what we found anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Well said.
At least I have anyway with her. But you know, yeah.
She agreed with me. She said yeah.
I mean, I have my things that I don't like change, but she just waits and waits and waits and waits, and then I change it.
he's a you go from A to D, straight line, and occasionally now he will go A, B, C, D, get to E.
I'll tell you, that's one of the things that changed for me drastically. We were off on a trip to hit three or four different points. Mm-hmm. And we were driving and we'd hit a couple, and we'd seen one area where we could go hiking and hadn't planned on that, but we went hiking. And as we were driving to the third point, she says, grab that book that I brought. I think there's a state park out here or something. So I find this book and she wants to stop at it. Well, no. Stop. We're headed to point three. What do you mean stop?
That's not the game plan.
Well, we stopped. And it was a tremendous opportunity to see something that I had never ever heard of, no less seen. We enjoyed it. We spent a good time looking around, and then we hopped back in the car and I was looking at the book again, and we're trying to find this other place. We drove by it and she says, "Oh, well, we'll just keep going." I said, "No, we're going back." And at that point, I realized, whoa, have I changed?
Yes.
And now,
an eye-opener.
Yeah, and now A to D is not
mandatory.
Not mandatory anymore. You know, unless D is the hospital.
Oh my goodness. But seriously,
you know, it opened me up to, you know, you don't have to put blinders on when you're going through life. You've absolutely got to open yourself up to seeing different things. Otherwise, what good is it? You might as well stay at home.
Mm-hmm. That's the next word.
She took up bird watching.
What?
She took up bird watching, about 6 months ago? And it's been fun. I mean, it's been frustrating because
that's cool.
The darn things are all over the backyard now. But anyway, but you know, it gave us something to, she does a lot of, and it's interesting to me because it's a nature thing. So I watch mm-hmm. with her and we identify birds and have a good time with it. And we go places and look for birds at the same time. And we're sitting at a gas station up in one spot. She says, "There's a hawk up there." Back to the car, grabs your camera and spend 15, 20 minutes taking pictures of this hawk in the car at the gas station. I don't know what he was looking for. Maybe a corn dog or something like that was loose. I don't know. But, you know.
You have fun connecting.
And fun.
You enjoy those moments.
Yeah. Instead of going, "What is she doing now? Gosh darn it, I don't know. She's holding us up from..." I wonder what kind of picture she's going to come back with.
Well, that is the part that I wanted to explore, you know, because I do, and I really do appreciate y'all hanging out with me. Because I want people to understand that relationships evolve in all different spaces and all different times and all different ways. And talking about intimacy has become so rigid. And if it is allowed to be talked about in families, it's usually not expanded to all of this, you know, all of this beauty that you spend together. And so it doesn't surprise me that people turn, you know, 65 and say, no, I'm not going to, you know, have them another partner, you know? And then it's like, no, you got lots of living to do. You got lots of, you got lots of stuff you can do. And so I think that this has brought some color to that experience. And I do appreciate you helping with that. Were you going to say something else? Oh, it has been. I'm going to have to check back in with y'all on the bird watching, because I put a little bird thing out during COVID and I've been loving it too. So I may have to check back in with y'all on the bird watching and see how that's going.
I'm more on bird food than we go on dog food.
Yeah, we had over 100 during the freeze. We had over 100 birds in our backyard eating.
Each day.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's really cool.
I'm part of the Cornell Feeder Watch program, which is just ending up. But there's a certain time frame where you watch all the birds that come in, and then you put it in a data app. And so as a citizen scientist, it's been interesting. It keeps you, gives you something to do. And so
you have to stay alive. Yeah. You know what? And I believe if I'm not learning, if I'm not growing, you know, there's something going on inside my head. I got to check in, because you have to continue to grow and learn. So I am going to let you guys go. Thank you so much. And I will, for everybody listening, I'm going to put a brief bio down below. I'm going to leave names out. This was just a wonderful couple who was nice enough to share some of their story with me and visit and talk. And so I will explain, but I also have some books and information and just about some of the stuff that we talked about in the bio. So look for that. And I will see you later. Have a good day.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope it provided some information for you. Please remember that this is not a therapy session, nor is it meant to provide therapy for anyone. Although I am a therapist, this is just generating a conversation and starting to understand the dynamics of sex and intimacy. If you have any questions or you feel like you're overwhelmed and need assistance, please make sure to reach out to your therapist. Or if you have a life or death fear, please make sure to call 911. Thank you so much for joining us, and we see you next time on Sex Gen.